Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
All right, yesterday was May 4th. Did you guys see that? May the 4th be with you? Anybody in Star Wars mode? I thought I'd see some Princess Leia Darth Vaders this morning. It's all good. May the 4th be with you. I love that. For some reason, I'm in like Star Wars mode. I'm in like Avengers mode. Anybody check out Avengers this past week? Yeah. Listen, if you were able to sit through Avengers for 3 hours and you start getting kind of testy with me after like 22 minutes of the sermon, that stuff starts to annoy me. Listen, I'm going to go this morning a little bit. Avengers, this was a long movie, okay? If you don't know what I'm talking about, Avengers just came out. It was like a three-hour-long movie. And, I mean, it was good, but, man, 3 hours? Shoo! Worth every minute? Okay. Wow, I don't know. But, man, I'm telling you, this sermon, you just wait. Wow, this one will blow you away. Yeah, see, no one gets excited about that stuff. What I want to read from today is from Genesis chapter 12. Okay, just three quick verses here. This is where we're going to be camping out. This is where we're going to focus in. This is where we're going to spend a little bit of time. All right? Maybe some of you know about this. Maybe some of you don't. That's okay. I'm going to unpack it. Here we go. Now the Lord said to Abram, who's the same as Abraham, just a little bit later in the story, his name gets changed to Abraham, okay? So Abram or Abraham. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you, Abraham, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let's pray. Really quick. Lord, show up right now. Work mightily. Help me to simply share what you have got for us. Not a word more, not a word less. Help it to enter not our ears, but our hearts. Let this be a word that shapes us and changes us. Let this ever be working in our lives to be drawing us closer to you, drawing us into your family and what you got for us. It's huge. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, real quick, dude. Lord, I do lift up to you. That little amber alert, did you guys see that just now? Yeah, just whatever's going on there, I pray against that too in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Okay. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. That's where we're going to be spending some time. Every person on this planet, everybody on this planet, I think, wants to belong to something bigger than themselves. Everybody wants to belong to something bigger than themselves. Do you agree with that or do you disagree with that? We're going to think about that a little bit. And sometimes I, you know, kind of trick you, so you never know. But as I've been thinking about this, I've been thinking about everybody kind of wants, at some level, to be part of something bigger. And I was looking this morning. I grabbed my Astros jersey, right? And I got this, I don't know, is that Korea? Korea, okay. I knew that was going to be bad. Okay, but I got my Astros jersey, right? Korea. I got my Korea guy on my back. And it's just fun. It's fascinating to me. Now, we haven't lived here very long. We've only been here like 2.5 years, right? I'm from Wisconsin. My wife's from Oregon. And so we're here. But I still catch myself, as I talk to the people around kind of the state, I still catch myself talking about how when in 2017, when we won the World Series. I do that. Like, I literally, like, I don't even know if it's Korea or who is going on. Well, Kim Jong-un's on the back of this baby. I don't even know what's going on. All I know is that we won. And it's just fascinating to me because I didn't do anything, right? 9 guys on a field, they did it all. That's who won the World Series, right? the roster. They made it happen. I didn't do anything, but for some reason, we still get connected in such a way to even just something as silly as like baseball. And we're like, yeah, we won because we want to be part of something. We want to be part of something big. Bigger than just ourselves. This is why, like, after years and years and years of working at the same company, you still, like, maybe you're retired now, and you still wear the company shirt, right? That got the little logo. Maybe not. But you want to be part of something bigger. And you know, I really believe in this company. I believed what they did was a good for the world. And I believe in it. So, yeah, I like that. I'm part of that. That's who I am. We want to be part of something bigger. This is why sometimes the older gentlemen who have the hats on, right, that say Vietnam vet or something, right? They're part of something. They know that they're part of something that happened that's bigger than simply themselves. And they're... yeah, I was part of that. We see that stuff every day, right? This is why people join the military. They're like, you know what? It's just, I could just go over here and do this, but I want to go be part of something bigger than myself. This is why we join political parties. This is why some of you are Democrats. This is why some of you are Republicans. This is why some of you are Green Party. All the other parties out there. Yeah, you wanna, I kind of like line up with, it's not just me, it's us. I'm part of something that's bigger, right? This is why people join gangs. Now, I hope I'm not talking to like, you know, I hope this doesn't make a lot of sense, but this is why you join a gang, right? I want to be part of a group of people who I can identify with. It's not just me out on the streets, it's us out on the streets. People want to be part of something bigger than themselves. This is why, and listen, not even just this stuff, not even just baseball, gangs, political parties. We even know there's bigger than that, don't we? I mean, deep down, we know for some reason, somehow, most people feel like there's something bigger going on. Something. We don't necessarily know exactly what it is. But something bigger is happening that we are part of, that we're going on out there floating. We don't know if it's a little green guy. We don't know. But something bigger is happening. This is why and that's all you got to do is quick Google search, right? This is why out of like 7.5 billion people on the planet right now, okay? This is why that nearly 75% of them are within and find themselves within the five most influential religious groups right now. This is why there's 2-point-some billion Christians on the planet. This is why there's 1.5 billion Muslims. This is why there's 1 billion Hindus. This is why there's religious groups of all kinds. And then there's even the 1-point-some billion who identify as, you know, non-religious, but even them want to be an association, even if it's just with philosophical ideas, with some larger group, because we know there's more. We know that it's bigger than just ourselves. And if we don't know it, we at least desire for it to be true. We want there to be something more. Right? I mean, people are in pursuit of something. Come on, there's got to be something bigger than just myself. Nearly 75% of this planet right now is in pursuit of something bigger than themselves, just from a religious perspective. You ever think about that? That's like, I mean, that's all just Google search, by the way. That's like Wikipedia stuff, okay? So it's for sure true. It's definitely true. Yeah, kind of interesting. And then today, we kind of have this situation where God is laying out just how big it really is. How big is it? How big is this thing? How big is this story? Where do we fit in? God comes to a guy named Abraham. Abraham is 75 years old. In this situation when God shows up in Genesis chapter 12 there. Now, Genesis is early on, right, in the Bible. I mean, I'm talking about when I open up to where I just read, I'm talking about right there, okay? Right there. There's actually a lot of history in those 12 chapters, okay? There's actually quite a bit going on. But early on, God comes to this guy named Abraham. He's 75 years old. Now, when a 75-year-old, what are you doing? 75, you're like, you're done. You're feeling pretty good. I mean, when I'm 75, I'm going to the YMCA and I'm going to sit in the steam room for most of the day. I'm just telling you, that's how it's going to be for me. I'll probably have swim trunks on. I got to say that at least here in church. But that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be hanging out in the, you know, at the Y, hanging out. It's going to be awesome. But here Abraham is kind of getting to like, yeah, I'm settling down. I'm here. And God shows up and says, no. I'm just kind of doing something. I'm just going to start something here. And God says, I want to take you to the land that I'm going to show to you. And so Abraham goes. Abraham packs up his entire family and he heads. And God starts to lead him and show him to the land where the Canaanites live. And one of the biggest problems for Abraham is that he has no kids. He has no children. And so one of the things that Abraham is really concerned about, he actually tells this to God at some point. He says, listen, God, all of my stuff right now, all of who I am is going to a servant of mine named Eleazar. That's who's going to get all this stuff. It's not going to be one of my kids because I don't have any kids. God says, no, your offspring. From you, nations will be blessed. Oh, what I'm going to do for me. And Abraham's like, what are you talking about? How is this going to happen? I'm 75 years old. Now, when Abraham turns 86 years old, 85, 86 years old, his wife Sarah is about 75 years old. Sarah one day comes to Abraham and she says, listen, we got to get this, like, God is making these incredible promises to us that all the nations are going to be blessed. We're going to have kids. We're going to, from our offspring, great things are going to happen, right? So how about this? Let's start making something happen. And so Sarah has her servant girl, Hagar, okay? She says, Abraham, why don't we have a child through Hagar? And they do. Abraham ends up having a child with Hagar. And from Hagar comes this little boy named Ishmael. Okay? Ishmael comes on the scene, and Abraham, as far as we can tell, loves Ishmael. He actually thinks that this is who the promise is going to come through. Actually, later on, in Genesis chapter 17, when God comes back to Abraham, Abraham says, let the blessing come through Ishmael. Let it come through Ishmael. This is good, God. This is good enough. And then God says this. No. I'm going to do this. I'm going to bless her, and that her there is Sarah. And moreover, I will give you a son by her. This is how it's going to happen. And kings will come from you. I mean, all these promises, as you kind of read through Genesis, there's actually 7 promises that God gives to Abraham. This is the 5th one. No. It's going to be a son through Sarah, and you will call him Isaac. Now, at this point, Abraham is 100 years old. 25 years after the promise has already been given to him from our reading from this morning. 25 years later, Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah's 90 years old. That year, they have a little baby boy, and his name is Isaac. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine the miracle that took place? I mean, a true miracle. She can't have kids. It's impossible. I mean, this is impossible stuff. And she has this child, Isaac. I mean, think of the joy that comes to their heart, to their life. And all of the nations will be blessed through Isaac. Kings will come from this offspring. And so then it's like, well, we start looking. Is it going to happen? Does that happen? Does God fulfill his promise? And that's all you got to do is start reading through. Now, Isaac ends up having a son, right? Isaac has who? Isaac has 2 sons, Jacob and Esau, doesn't he? And Jacob has 12 sons. And one of those 12 sons is a boy named Joseph. Joseph, and we don't have time. We don't have time. You just got to go read it. It's an incredible story. Joseph ends up getting sold as a slave into Egypt, right? And then what happens? Joseph saves Egypt. He saves them. Literally, if it wasn't for Joseph and the dream that he brought and the interpretation of the dream to the Pharaoh, all of Egypt would have been destroyed. Literally, God's his promise that the nations will be blessed through your offspring, it already begins to happen with his great-grandson, Joseph. Joseph is the great-grandson of Abraham. I mean, literally, an entire nation gets saved from famine through Joseph. And then you just fast forward and you just start, you just kind of read some more. And you get to Joshua chapter 2. It's incredible. Now the Hebrews are so much larger. They're huge. There's what, maybe a million of them? Maybe more, maybe less. Huge group of now Hebrews that have, they're just the family has expanded and grown. And they come across to the land of Canaan again. And they come to the walls of Jericho. Right? They come up to the walls of Jericho. And I mean, this is an incredible story. Go read about it in Joshua. Actually, we're going to do a series on Joshua in a couple weeks. We're going to kick off a series on Joshua. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this literally for months. We're going to kick off a series and just study this guy. This guy's a stud. This guy's a stud. He's one of my favorite Bible characters, okay? And Joshua and these million people are at the walls of Jericho, and they're going to destroy it. God says, I'm going to destroy it. And there's a lady inside Jericho, inside the walls. She's, as far as we can tell, something like a prostitute. She's not a Hebrew. She's not from the family of Abraham, right? She's in the wall. But because of her faith and how she helped two of the spies, when Jericho was destroyed, Rahab, this is the lady's name, Rahab and her family were spared. Do you remember that story? Some of you do, some of you don't. That's okay. You got to go read it. You just got to go check it out. It's incredible. It's in the Bible. And Rahab, here's this one who's not part of the family, who not only is she saved, it's not like then she was. They were like, nice job, you helped us out, now you're over there. No, she's brought in to the family of God. She's brought in to the Hebrew family. And then it's amazing. You just read a little bit more. What happens? What happens with Rahab? Some of you won't know this. Rahab ends up marrying a guy named Salmon, who's a Hebrew. And as far as we can tell, he's a Hebrew of the line of Abraham. Now, this girl was a prostitute. This girl was pretty messed up. This girl was not from the greatest home. This isn't like, yay, so happy to have you part of our group. No, she's Rahab. She's brought in because of her faith. And then what happens? Rahab and Salmon have a son, and his name is Boaz. Now, Boaz, you might remember, is actually in the story in the Bible called Ruth. Ruth is an incredible story because Ruth is not part of God's family either. She's a Moabite woman. She's not a Hebrew. She's not a Hebrew. And she comes with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back into the area where Boaz is. Boaz is a good dude. Boaz ends up marrying Ruth. Boaz ends up marrying Ruth. Now, Ruth is nothing special. Ruth's a Moabite. She's not a Hebrew. She's not of the line of Abraham. But Boaz is from a mix, kind of Rahab, Salmon. And then what happens? Watch this. Watch this. I know. Don't get lost. Boaz and Ruth have a son. And his name is Obed. And then Obed has a son, and his name is Jesse. And then Jesse has 8 sons, the youngest of which is what? King David. King David, who becomes the second king of Israel. Nations will come from you, Sarah. Kings will come from you. Mighty things will take place. Nations will be blessed. People will be brought in that were not part of it. What? And then that's all you do is you just keep reading and you keep following through and you keep following through. And God continues to bless the nations and God continues to bring people who were not a people. He begins to continue to do a work that's only of God. And God continues to fulfill his promise to Abraham all the way, pop, 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 until you get to this morning where this young girl is, who's a virgin girl. And this angel shows up and she says, Mary, you will have a son. You will have a son. And you will name him Jesus. And Jesus comes. Not just an earthly king like King David. No, so much bigger. One who will come, who actually goes to a cross, who lives a perfect life. One who's born in a way that, what? Are you kidding me? From a virgin birth? God doing a work. God coming to us to dwell among us. Dies on a cross to pay the price for our sin. Rises again victoriously to defeat sin, death, and the power of the devil. Incredible. And it's in the offspring of Abraham that a real king comes. It's through the offspring of Abraham that all of a sudden, truly, all people through Jesus are blessed. And then, you gotta look with me. Check this out. Check this out, because this then starts to move us to Dale. And this starts to move us to you and to me. And I wish I could just preach through the whole story. I can't do the whole Bible today, folks. Okay, but check this out from Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 26. Look at this. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Right? You see that? There is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. What is it? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, oh snap, if you're in Christ, then you're one of Abraham's seed. You are Abraham's offspring, heirs. According to the promise. Did you know it was that big? Did you know it's that big? How big is it? Yeah, we won the World Series. Is it that big? How big is it? If we're in Christ, we are part of the family of God that was promised thousands of years ago, back to Abraham. And it is not from people who are stand-up, great folk people. It is, as you read through this, it is broken person, after sinner, after murderer, after thief, after liar, after theft, rape, murder, all of it. How God works. God doing his great plan, making it happen, and you and I get to be part of it. This, listen, this is tweetable. This is a family for everybody. This is a family for everybody. Everybody gets to be part of this. You know, I was thinking about my family. I got a picture up here of my family. This is my, basically, six siblings. My dad, my mom, my grandpa's there in the middle. There's my youngest is number 25 grandkid for all of my family right now. Okay, this is my family. My family's actually, I was thinking about this, my family is a very tough family to break into. Because there's so many of us, and we only get together once a year. We get together over Thanksgiving. Okay, that's kind of hunting season, right? And family, we love family too. You know, hunting, opening day of deer season is the Saturday before Thanksgiving always. National holiday. No, I'm just kidding. This is difficult to break into. As I've thought about this, I was like, we never almost have people over that week. Even extended family, even like relatives and cousins. It's really hard to make connections in our family because, quite honestly, during that week, I focus in on them. I don't get to see them at all. Like all year round, we don't get to see each other. And so I zero in and I focus in and like, yeah, this is it. And so we don't have people over for Thanksgiving. That's almost kind of not terrible. But like some of you have been so kind and generous and invited us in. And we don't do that as our family. It's a tough family to break into. Some of it's just logistics, right? It just is. But as I was thinking about that, I think that's how people feel with God's family sometimes. Here's this big family, and it's really hard to break into. No, that's not how God's family works. This is a family for everybody. The Kunze family, that's big. It's big, but not Abraham promise big. You could take that away, Lyle. This is bigger. We get to be part of it. Every single one of us, through faith in Jesus, because of what he's done, we get to be part of that family. God's family always has room. It always has room, folks. Always. Thank you, Jesus, for that. How big is it? He's still doing it today. It happened this morning. How big is it? I mean, when Dale baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this is a promise that goes back thousands of years. Abraham, you're going to have a son. And through you, you don't even know what's going to happen. And he's just thinking, when, you know, Isaac comes, oh, Isaac. He's not thinking King David. He's not thinking Jesus. He's not thinking Jesus working in Dale's life. Abraham's just like, my son, I'm so thankful. And I trust, God, that you will do this thing, but I don't get it. And for thousands of years, God just keeps growing his family. And we are part of that. We get to be part of that through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you for bringing restoration and reconciliation to all of us who are in you. Thank you that we get to be part of your family. God, we all know deep down there's something bigger. We know it. Oh, here it is. Here it is. You working out this master plan to bring the world to be in your family, to be an heir, to be one of Abraham's offspring, not by physical handing down, but we get to be offspring of Abraham through the promise, through something that you are doing, that you have done, and that you will continue to do. We get to be part of that even today. I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you, God, for that. Jesus, if there is somebody here this morning who feels like kind of they're looking at the Kunze family and they're like, yeah, that's cool to be part of that big family, but there's no way I could be brought into that. Yeah, that's probably true. It's probably true. It's going to be difficult. But not when it comes to your family. And God, I pray that you would draw that person, whoever it is this morning, draw all of us, even those of us with faith already, continue to draw us closer to you. Help it remind us that we are part of your family, that coming into your family is not a work of ours. It's your work. It's your promise unfolding, happening right before our eyes, right in our hearts. Thank you so much for that, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the blessing that you've given to us through Abraham, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift you, just his favor upon you this next week and all that you do. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Amen.